Turn to Proverbs 9:3. Proverbs 9:3. We're still talking about how wisdom is built at her house, and she is getting this feast prepared, and now she's going to start calling people to it. So she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Let's look at that first part. She has sent forth her maidens. So first she built the house, in verse 1. Wisdom had built at her house. She'd hewn out her seven pillars. Then she prepares the feast in verse 2, which we just read about here a minute ago. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Now she sends out her maidens into the city to invite guests in verses 3 through 5. And they go out and they have a message. Verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. So a maiden, these maidens are representative of something which I'll show you here in a second. But a maiden is a girl, a young unmarried woman, a maid. It's also a maidservant, a female attendant. And maiden is used in this sense in the Bible in different places, one of which is in Psalm 123:2, and this is actually cited in the OED as a usage of this number 4 definition, a maidservant, a female attendant, where it says, as the eyes of the maiden look unto the hand of her mistress. So a maiden is a servant, in other words. So wisdom sent out her servants to invite guests to the feast that she had prepared. Now, this is symbolic of Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Remember, Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24. It's symbolic of Jesus Christ sending out his apostles and ministers to cry unto men to repent and come into his church. Let me show you some verses here, which we'll see that we'll see the fulfillment of this type and shadow here in Proverbs 9, verse 3. Mark 6, verses 7. And 12. Mark 6 and verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. These are the 12 apostles, and he began to send them forth. Wisdom hath sent forth her maidens. Now, of course, the apostles are men, wisdom sending the maidens. But then again, wisdom is a woman representing Jesus Christ. Her maidens are also women, servants representing men in the antitype. Jesus said that whosoever keeps his commandments, the same as his mother and his sister and his brother, so there is a sense in which, and we're called the bride of Christ, right? So the church is referred to as a woman. So it makes sense when wisdom sends out her maidens, Christ sends out his ministers of his church, and his church is a bride or a woman. So, I mean, it's not a big stretch here, I don't think. And then verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. So they went out with a message, just like wisdom's maidens go out with a message, to call men to repent and to come in. Look at Acts 9 and verse 15. Acts 9 and verse 15. We saw that the first 12 apostles were sent out to call men to repent, call them into Christ's church. The apostle Paul likewise was. Acts 9 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He's talking to Ananias, referring to Paul. Paul is a chosen vessel unto him. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now compare that with Acts 22, 15 and 21, where Paul recounts this conversion experience that he had. Acts 22, 15 and 21. He's recounting this experience. He says, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And then in verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Wisdom hath sent forth her maidens. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Let me give you one more comparison here. Acts 26, This is another time later in Paul's ministry where he is recounting this experience again. Acts 26, 16 through 20. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So go to the Gentiles, preach the gospel to them, turn them from darkness to light." So preach to repent, in other words, because repentance is a turning, it's a changing of one's mind, that they may receive inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. The inheritance there is in the church. They receive the inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. They are made partakers of Christ's church. They are inheritors of Christ's church. Verse 19, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." So this is what wisdom is having her maidens do. Call out unto men to come into her house, which in the sense of the church requires repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. Now, we should have been able to deduce already what an apostle is by what we read about them. Because Jesus called the 12 and sent them. Jesus called Paul and sent him, is specifically said. Well, the word apostle actually means sent. Now, here's the definition right out of the English dictionary, the Oxford English Dictionary. Apostle is a person sent, one sent on an errand, a messenger, specifically, with a capital initial, the 12 witnesses whom Jesus Christ sent forth to preach his gospel to the world, also the subsequently commissioned Barnabas, and Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. So the word became a title, but the word means sent. It's kind of like the word baptism. It means to immerse, but it came to mean more than just simply to immerse in water, but to immerse is a religious rite to add somebody to a church, right? Well, the apostle is the same thing. Primarily, it means somebody that's sent. But obviously, they're not just sent to go grab the mail, right? They're sent to go out and preach the gospel, right? To be the ministers of Christ. So this is what Proverbs 9 is typifying here when she sends forth her maidens. The apostles were sent by Christ to preach. I'll give you one more. Mark 3 and verse 14. And here's one for you too while you turn to Mark 3:14. Remember what Jesus said in the Great Commission? "Go ye into all the world." What does that mean? He sent them, right? Go. And that's another, when you put all this together, you see that that Great Commission, so-called, was given to the apostles because they were the ones that were sent, right? That's not some general command to all men or something. Mark 3 and verse 14. Because if it were, what are we doing here? If we're all sent to the uttermost parts of the world, why are we sitting here right now? We ought to be in Indonesia or South Africa or Chile or some other place, Tanzania. Mark 3 and verse 14. "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." Just like wisdom's maidens, she sends them forth and they cry at the highest places of the city. She sent them forth to preach. And then the second half there, Proverbs 9, 3. "So she crieth upon the highest places of the city." She does so through her servants, because she's sending them out. And so she is crying through them. Right? She may be crying herself, but obviously she's sending them out for a purpose. They're crying on her behalf. So through her servants, wisdom cries upon the highest places of the city. She cries in the tops of the high places, among the roads that are well traveled, and at the entrance of the city to gain access to the most amount of people as possible. And we've seen this before already in this study, in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. So when she wants to fill up her house and get a lot of people coming to this feast, well, you don't go out there in the wilderness, although John the Baptist did, but people came out to him in that case. But you normally just don't go on a dirt road somewhere, you know, and stand next to a stop sign and start crying, right? You go to the gate of the city. You go where the people are, right? Proverbs 1, 20 through 21. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. That's, you know, where people travel. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, like the busiest place. In the openings of the gates, where everybody crowds into the city, she uttereth her words, saying, and she tells them to repent, in other words. And then in Proverbs 8, 2 through 3, as we saw here a few months ago when we were going through that passage, it says, doth not wisdom cry, there in verse 1, and understanding put forth her voice, she standeth in the top of high places. She wants to get to a place where her voice can project and be heard by a lot of people. That's why you get up in a high place whenever you want to call and have men hear you. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. So this is where wisdom sends her maidens to cry upon the highest places of the city. The Lord also, likewise, sent the apostles into all the world, to all nations, and to the uttermost parts of the earth to cry and call men to come into his kingdom. Matthew 28:19, which I didn't even remember that I put this verse in the study when I mentioned it to you here a minute ago. Here I thought I was having some kind of a bright thought, and it was in the outline in a few minutes anyway. Matthew 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So he sends them out to the nations, sends them out where all the people are, calls them to come into his church. Mark 16, 15 through 20. Mark 16, 15 through 20. 15 and 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So right there you have a fulfillment of the Great Commission. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. It says they went forth and preached everywhere. Kind of sounds like they went into all the world, preached the gospel to every creature. And as a matter of fact, if you look in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that the gospel's come unto you as it is in all the world in verse 6, and he says that it was preached to every creature under heaven in verse 23, I believe it is. So it was fulfilled to the letter, as a matter of fact. Let me give you one more, Acts 1 and verse 8. Show you wisdom sending forth her maidens here, crying in the highest places of the city. Acts 1 and verse 8. These are Jesus' parting words to the apostles before he went to heaven. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In the parable that we looked at in Matthew 22, remember the one where he makes the marriage feast for his son? In that parable, he goes out into the highways and hedges, and he compels men to come into the feast in his house. Matthew 22, 8 through 10. Matthew 22, this parable, and Proverbs 9 really line up pretty well together. Verses 8 through 10, this is after he called to the Jews and they rejected it, and he sent in the armies and destroyed their city in verse 7. Then in verse 8, it says, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. Go. So he's sending them. Go ye into the highways, like the highest places of the city, you know, where all the people are. And as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So they listened. They went out. They just grabbed them all. They brought everybody in. And then they had to sort them out later. And then Luke 14, 16 through 23. Luke 6, 14, 16 through 23. This is another parable, similar parable. And he said unto him, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Kind of like Proverbs chapter 9, right? She made her feast. She goes out and calls in the highest places of the city and bids men to come. And sent, there's that word again, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. You know, I've got stuff to take care of. You know, I've got commerce and things like that. I don't have time. I can't join the church right now because I've got this property that I just bought and I got to go work on it, right? I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I just got a new job. I got to go and work. I can't join the church right now. I can't get baptized. Can't come in because, you know, work is keeping me from it. And another said, I've married a wife. That's a big one. And therefore I cannot come. Well, I just got married. I can't join the church now. Right? I know people that that's happened to. They would have joined the church, but unfortunately I just got married to somebody that's not having it. It's interesting how the same excuses that people have today were, prophesied of thousands of years ago. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, like maybe the highest places of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, does this passage make you feel good? Because you know who you are, right? You're the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. You're the lowlifes. We're the lowlifes. Right, the high class people, they don't come in. They don't want anything to do with this. So God says, all right, go out into the highways and the hedges, go into the slums, get the lowlifes, get the riffraff, bring them into my church. That's you, and that's me. My dear friend Eddie Duke one time, years ago, sent me a Far Side comic out of the paper, and it was these people, they were at the zoo, and they were standing there, and behind the bars was this guy standing there in a wife beater with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and some trashy-looking woman. And above them on the sign, it says, Riff Raff. And he says, this is you before you were baptized. You were Riff Raff. He's like, it's actually, you still are Riff Raff.
No.
Yep. I cannot find that comic for the life of me. I'm sure I didn't throw it away, but I've never been able to find it. I would like to have it so badly. So, there you have it. Wisdom sends forth her maidens, highest places of the city, and cries unto men to come in and repent, telling people to come into Christ's church. And that takes care of verse 3. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.